I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché. You go right, you go
right, you go left. All right. You know, when you hear that, it's time for Touché, our weekly look at the campaign trail during this presidential campaign. The big questions: will Indiana be the final battleground for both parties as victories from the frontrunners could end talk of contested and brokered conventions? Or will the addition of Carly Fiorina to the Ted Cruz ticket bring balance back to the campaign trail? You see what I did there?
I do see what you did, and you see that I saw that, but you noticed that I was deliberately trying not to mock you for that
right,
one.
Right, right, right. It's too cheap.
I will mock Dave. I feel like on the Touché segment, this is Charles Lipson, that Dave tonight can be the touche.
Oh.
And I'll just be the yay.
That's right. The regular panelists for this are Dave Lundy and Chris Roebling. Dave is here. Chris is out.
Dave fled the country. Chris fled the country.
We welcome University of Chicago political science professor Charles Lipson to the Thunderdome. Charles, good to see you, professor.
Good. Where was I drafted?
Where were you drafted? Yeah.
You were drafted in the 147th round, Charles.
I see. Okay. All right, it was that bong photo that brought me way down, you know?
Really, it really was.
Yeah.
All right, so big state for both parties tomorrow. I mean, I don't know if we really saw that Indiana was going to be that big of a deal, but it seems like maybe it's just the rhetoric that every time primary comes up, we're like, this is it, this is the one, and then we get the same results, and, you know, some delegates here, some delegates there. But at the end of the day, is Indiana is this the possible end to this madness?
Well, there's ending, and then there's ending. I expect tomorrow to be an ending, Justin. Both races are over.
That's right.
Donald Trump has mathematically eliminated all his competitors. He's actually now on his way to getting the magic number. Hillary Clinton needs, I think, 35% of the votes, although only 19% if you include the superdelegates of the remaining votes. The race is over. It's a shame that Bernie Sanders it's like he concedes, he throws out nice warm fuzzies, and then he comes back and says crazy stuff like he did yesterday when he said, no, unless she gets a majority out of the pledged delegates, then it's a contested, and it's not a majority because number includes supers.
You got to remember, he's not a Democrat. Right. I mean, in other words, when people make the claim, let's bring the party together, he's not in the party. The Democrats decided to let him run as a Democrat. They didn't make him pledge any of the things that you saw all around on that. As for it being over, this is increasingly looks like that Monty Python film in which the knight has his arm whacked off and he says, It's a mere flesh wound.
I have said the exact same thing. He's exactly right.
I swear to goodness, this is Kasich, you know? It's a mere, I won Ohio. I mean, yeah, it's your home state. That was normally considered a 3-foot putt. I mean, and now what we've got is a 3-foot putt.
Well, I don't understand. I mean, it's kind of early to be saying who the running mate's going to be for Ted Cruz to say Carly Fiorina. I mean, he's not even.
It's desperation.
I was going to say it's he's not even in the mix.
Well, I want you to know, Justin, that my Academy Award victory, I've already got you on the guest list. Actually, both of you are coming, so Ted Cruz naming his Veep.
I'm having a Native American come up and accept the award for me.
For you. Yes. But we're planning. This is just the same kind of planning that Ted Cruz has done.
This is actually, for Trump, the issue of running mate is both more important and more difficult. It's more important because he has these gaping demographic holes, which are to say most of the electorate. You've got women, Hispanics, you've got all kinds of groups. Now, he will appeal to some groups of Democrats that normally vote only Democratic, but I think he has a big problem. The problem he'll have in picking a running mate who helps him with those groups is that right now, at least, the top running mates don't want to be associated with
him. Well, I was going to ask, with Indiana, I mean, I just because you see Ted Cruz, I mean, it's getting to the point where he's losing arguments to Trump supporters. I was listening to the news today where Trump supporters are getting him going, well, you know, is there a point before the convention that he will concede, or is he really going to go into the convention? Are they going to hold all the delegates? And more importantly, is this sort of what the Republican Party wants to do?
Ted Cruz is practicing his inner Egyptian and saying denial is not just a river in Egypt.
Right.
look, Ted Cruz is demonstrating with each passing day how truly unlikable he is as a human being. I saw him yesterday on Meet the Press. And Chuck Todd, who's normally pretty unflappable, and he doesn't get agitated with people, Chuck Todd was getting his dander up because Ted Cruz wouldn't answer the most basic question of, yeah, I know, but if you lose, are you saying you're never going to do it? You have two choices here. No, I'm never endorsing Donald Trump, or yeah, we'll cross that bridge
because
later.
Because he wants a price for the endorsement if he makes it at all. And
the presses will let you in the country.
I tell you, he does have a problem with likability, but I think the bigger problem was that he had very carefully planned an outsider's run in what he knew would be an outsider's year, and Donald Trump
took
over that lane. There was no room for any other car to pass him in that lane, and Cruz made a fundamental decision, which is a mistake. He decided that the heart of his campaign would be his religiosity and social conservatism, and but without all the warm good feeling of Mike Huckabee, and Huckabee went nowhere, right? So you've got to ask yourself, and it's, you know, and every so often his father comes out, and his father is kind of like Jimmy Carter's wacky brother and Hillary Clinton's wacky brother. And he just, whenever the father comes out and says, you know, essentially Jesus is already registered to vote for him, you know, then it alienates other people.
Right, right.
And that's Charles, the Republican on this panel, that's talking here, too, I might add. Ted Cruz, Ted Cruz occupied, you're right, you exactly nailed that. Ted Cruz occupied that lane. Chris Christie was going for the bully lane, and it turned out that there was a car in two lanes, and his name was Donald Trump.
Well, let me ask, we'll go to a break here in a second, but, you know, the president made the joke in the White House Correspondents' Dinner about, you know, fish, or Paul Ryan.
Yeah.
Like, there seems to be a movement to draft anybody but Donald Trump. Is that not going to happen?
It's done.
Is the Republican Party going to get behind Donald Trump?
No. What the Republican Party hopes is that either if Hillary is not indicted, that she's a one-term president and that nobody on the Supreme Court dies.
By the way, that's how you know Charles is a Republican, because he throws the indictment in there.
Yeah, that's a good one, yeah.
Well, I do think that the issue of the indictment was much more lively several months ago, and I think it's an injustice, really, and I'm speaking as a Republican here, I think it's an injustice to the democratic process in America that the presumptive nominee of the Democratic Party can't say this is resolved in some way. There's either an indictment or there's not an indictment, or my aides are indicted. I think the idea that the FBI is working without a time schedule is really
always unsettling in any form when any government agency is like, we'll take our time, we'll tell you when. I don't like that either.
Yeah.
We'll let you know in October.
Charles Lipson's a political science professor at the University of Chicago. Dave Lundy, a Democrat analyst, and what else you want to call yourself?
President of Aileron Communications.
There you go. That's good.
Husband, dad, you know. All around great guy.
He's a bicyclist.
All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back with more Touche here on The Download.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what you said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche.
Touche here on The Download. In studio with me, Dave Lundy and Charles Lipson. We're playing Touche. It's every Monday here on The Download. All right, so two things I'd love to talk about is, one, as we sort of size up the front runners, Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. That's what it's going to be.
He's taller.
He's taller. You know, what's the forecast? I mean, the prediction for the campaign. I mean, is this going to be a campaign that's going to be super nasty, that will go down in the history books as the worst ever? Or, you know, are we going to see a different kind of campaign where hope and change, and I don't know what I'm talking about.
It's going to be a different kind of campaign, but I would be shocked if there's anything positive in it. Trump is going to do two things. He's going to run on the economy. We got troubles, and I'm a jobs guy. And he's going to run. He doesn't even have to run on the outsider. It's now so firmly imprinted on him. What he's got to do is have some torpedoes against Hillary that hit below the waterline. She's on her route to win this one unless he can damage her so fundamentally.
Like with scandal kind of things? Like that kind of thing?
Trump's shots below the waterline are the reason that he's so disliked among women. I think that...
he's got to be careful in that regard, right? I mean, he can't just go...
Yeah,
he's really got to make sure
the hallmark of Trump is careful.
Yeah, look, last Tuesday, he demonstrated the problem, okay? He had his victory speech, and he wasn't presidential, and he wasn't, you know, he resorted to lying, Ted, and all that. But he was okay right up until those last 3 minutes where he couldn't help himself, and he launched into the, if Hillary was a man, she wouldn't even get 5%. And then he launched this whole diatribe, and women just recoil at this stuff. I mean, the interesting thing is when you look at Trump's negatives among women, they're still rising. We don't know what the ceiling is.
Possible.
They're at 70%. I thought that when they hit like 60, 65, that was it. But no.
Nobody
they
left
keep
Ivanka.
Going up. Politics is a game of addition, and Donald Trump is trying to demonstrate you can
subtract and win. But he keeps winning
the primaries.
I understand that, yeah. But is there any way that you know, as the general goes on, that he is a more favorable candidate to groups like women, to minority groups, things like that?
Look,
no.
The
short answer to that is... It's not that he's going to become more favorable. He's got to do something that really damages her, which is to say she's already damaged herself in some way that he's going to bring out. I've got to tell you, 2 years ago, you can remember those ready for Hillary as if there was going to be some enthusiasm. There was zip enthusiasm. I met with lots and lots of people who were the core of her demographic. That is, they were liberal, democratic women of Hillary's age cohort. And they were for her for the most part, but they were not enthusiastic.
Not energetic.
Now, those same people are coming up, and they're not saying, will you vote for Hillary? They are saying, you can't vote for Trump. I swear, it's very common. The other thing that I noticed, now granted, Trump is not making a play for the demographics of people who hold professional jobs in the city and so forth, but I know lots of Republicans, I literally don't know anyone who has told me that he is definitely voting for Trump.
Yeah, and you know, you hear that from the Republicans and the establishment here in Illinois, where they're withholding. They come on this show and they're like,
and
they're
petrified about
yeah.
Mark Kirk and the people who are running in iffy districts like in the North Shore. They're just petrified. Well, you live there, David. What do you think?
It's not remotely iffy. Trump is going to get trounced in where I live among Republicans. But here's the thing, and I think this is important to keep in mind. All the division within the Republican Party, the division within the Democratic Party, and the notion that those folks aren't going to come home is somewhat overblown. Because at the end of the day, most Republicans are going to vote for Trump.
Yeah.
They're going to hold their nose and they're going to say, I'm not voting for Trump. I'm voting against Hillary and for the Supreme Court. And I think a larger portion of Democrats are going to do the same. But you have to think about, where is he going to get the votes?
The real... sadness of all of this is that Trump has tapped into some very fundamental things. Middle class and lower middle class people are really hurting. Their income has gone down, not up. People are outraged that people can come into the country illegally These are not necessarily people who are against immigration. They're against illegal immigration. And on college campuses today, you can't even say the word illegal. If you say it, it's considered a microaggression. Those people are holding their hands up. And they're finally, they're saying that the Democratic programs that have been running for 50-plus years and cost $20 trillion have not solved problems like Baltimore and Ferguson, and we have no talk in this campaign from the side that has backed those about what they're going to do.
Well, we're going to continue this conversation, obviously, Touche, every Monday here on The Download. Charles Lipson subbing in for Chris Roebling this week, University of Chicago political science professor. Great to have you. Thanks for being here. Dave Lundy, as always, the better half of Touche.
Wait a minute. No, not the better half. Hey. Wait a minute. Hold everything.
Let me type that on Facebook for Roebling, who's overseas, to go,
this is
liberal media bias.
Dave, Charles, great to see you guys. Thanks for being here.
See you, Justin.